We learned this morning a very important topic of Metzitza, and it's also Metzitza Bapeh. They're two different conversations, all one connected sugya, but let's first talk about Metzitza and then Metzitza Bapeh. So the Gemara tells us in the bottom of Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, when the Mishnah already addressed that one of the ways of, unclear from the Mishnah just says there's an inin of Motitzin, that you do Metzitza, it's Malin Porin Motitzin. So and then it says Mnosin Aleh Isplanis on the Mishnah Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. So just reading the text, the question becomes: is Motitzin part of the first phrase or the second phrase? It says Molin Porn, that's definitely the Mila, and Motitzin, is that also a continuation of the Mila, or is Motitzin leading into the next part of all the refuas, the recovery afterwards of Mnosin Aleh Isplanis and Common and so on and so forth? So the Gemara addresses the nature of Metzitza. And Rashi already tells us as well, actually not on the Mishnah, on the Gemara, but the Gemara tells us that Amar Papa Hai Umno Delo Mayitz Sakanahu, a mole who refuses to do Metzitza, which we have nowadays, it's a danger for the child. Vavrina Lei, and we remove him from acting as a mole anymore because he's putting the child's life in danger. And the Gemara Sapshita, of course, the fact that the fact that we're Mechal Shabbos on this, we only Mechal Shabbos if it's Pikuach Nefesh, so of course it's Sakana. So we know it's a Sakana, so what's the Chiddush of a Papa? So Mal Desema, I would have thought, Hai Dam Mifkad Pakid, Kamashvan Chabur Michbar, the nature of whether the blood is really just staying there in a certain area, you need to pop it open, or it's really connected to the skin, it's a real violation of Melech Deraisa. And the Gemara ends up saying it's a sakana. That the concept of the Metzitza is simply a sakana. We do it because if you don't do Metzitza, it's dangerous for the child. So drawing out the blood is dangerous, is necessary for healing the child. That's the premise of the Gemara. Metzitza is because otherwise it's a sakana for the child. So there's a fascinating Ran here in Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis from Yeshe Sugya, that when the mole is pirish, when he separates from the Mila, so then the question is, you go back and fix it's an Akvin, Tzichtin of Akvin. So the Ran says, at what stage is considered a Pirish? At what point is he considered finished the Mila? So he says, Afilu b'metzita atma, yesh la'ayin d'chol shepara harei sayim, tarche mila, the dilma ha'metzita mikri refua, v'lo tarche mili. He's not sure, this very question, whether metzita is considered Tzarchei Mila, and it's a continuation of the Maisa Mila, or it's simply a Refua, and it's going to be something Bifnei Atma. That's his question. Now, just to bring out Nafkamina, I don't know if anyone got to the end of this just yet, but there is an interesting discussion, jumping to number 8 for just a moment, those who want to see this inside, there is a Chachmas Adam. The Chachmas Adam, he writes, Lo nogu sheshnei malin malin b'shabbos. We already discussed this a couple weeks ago, whether you should have two malin assisting, one doing the mila, one doing the priya. Ava gav diesh machmir. Even though those are machmir, nearly dal kopanim b'makom shenogu shemechabden shlishi l'metzita b'shabbos lo yasu kein ella hapareya yimtots. In regards to metzita, that metzita should be done by the same person doing the priya. Okay. And we'll look in the Mishnah Berurah to contrast that. After Mishnah Berurah quotes this discussion of two malim by Amila, he quotes his Chachmas Adam, that you should not be mechaber third person, but then he quotes his Shuas Yaakov that says, Dachaze, v'kaseh de metzita yachol lios be'acher duhu inyan bifnei atmo. So the question becomes, does the person doing the priya have to also do the metzita, or can you have already a different person doing the metzita? And that's Tala in this Sarich Ian of the Iran, whether or not Metzitza is a Dabar B'fnei Atzmo, or is it a continuation of the Maisa Mila. Okay, so we'll get to, so I guess once we're here, let's look at the interesting Ketos as well for another Nafkamina, whether Metzitza is a Dabar B'fnei Atzmo, or it's a Hamshach of the Maisa Mila. We discussed, was it last week, about Shlichas, right? It's called Shlichas by Mila. And we saw the Rosh, and the Shach, that there are those who are machmir that one should not do shlichas by Mila. And we gave some explanations why. Perhaps Mila is a mitzvah beguf. Just like tefillin, you can't have shlichas, so too you can't have shlichas by a bris Mila, because perhaps it's really the child's mitzvah, and he can't appoint a shliach. Fine. So the Ketzos writes in that same discussion, I don't know if anyone picked up on this when we saw the Ketzos last week, but he writes, from the Divrei HaRosh, Misha Yachol Lios Mol Ba'atzmo, one who's able to be a mole, a father who himself is a mole, Roy Lo La'asos Me'atzmo, he must do the meal on his own, shouldn't appoint a shliach, Milvad Mitzitza De'enu Elo L'Refuah, B'zeh Yachol L'Chabdo La'acher. But the Mitzitza does not have to be done, because mitzitza is not a mitzvah of the mila; it's completely separate. It's a davar bifnei atzmo. It's a refuah, and therefore someone else could do it through shlichus. I've never seen mechubed with the mitzitza, the zaydi, but according to the ketzos, it's a davar bifnei atzmo. So these are nafkamis between in the tzarchin of the Ran of whether the same person doing the priya should be doing the mitzitza and whether you could be mechabed with shlichus. The Matita, even though in general one shouldn't do shlichus if he himself is a mole. So this becomes a very interesting discussion about things that are a sakana, whether or not, if the sakana no longer is relevant, whether we uproot that particular mitzvah. So a few things come to mind. There is a Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Zayin Mabez, which talks about Ruach Ra, Netilas Adayim in the morning, and a certain Ruach Ra that's there. Tosas writes, and Tosas often writes this, that we no longer have Ruach Ra. Where he lived in Europe, it's different than when they lived in Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. There's no Ruach Ra in Europe and France where the Bali Tosas lived. And he says this several times. This is similar to that of Melch Sedomis, right? When it comes to Mai Machron, the Gemara says Mai Machron Chova. But it's because Melch Sedomis. So nowadays there's no Melch Sedomis anymore. It's not common. So there are some who say there's no need for a Mayim Achronim. But this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes in Simon Kuf Pei Aleph, Yesh Shein Nagin Litol Mayim Achronim. Because since it's all based on a Sakala, Melch Sedomis, Mipnei She'ein Melch Sedomis Mitzuya Beinenim, says the Mishnah Berurah. And therefore there's no need, Achshav Ein Makpidim L'Rachson. We don't care to wipe them because Melch Sedomis isn't common. So therefore, it's all based on sakana. Sakana is no longer relevant, so there's no need for the mitzvah, the din of Mayim Achronim. That being said, however, the Mishnah Berurah does quote from the Gra, that the Gra thinks Melch Sedomis is still relevant, Bizman Hazeh. But aside from that reason that the Gemara gives, Kein Kasav HaMagin Evram, B'Shem HaMakubalim, D'Chol Odom Yizor B'Mayim Achronim, V'Chein Hichmir HaMarshal B'Yam Shashlomo, V'Chein Kasav Birki Yosef, and the Chida and others were very machmer in Mayim Achronim. So how do you explain this? How do you explain that if the Sakana of Melch Sedomis is no longer relevant, so why do we do Mayim Achronim? So the understanding that the Poskim say is that oftentimes the Gemara will give a Nigla reason, and then there's a Nista reason. Right? There's a Nigla reason of Sakana, but there's a deeper reason, that's from the Kabbalim brought down by the Mishnah Berurah, Pikabal, there's a different reason as well. What that reason is, they don't tell us what the reason is. The Gemara does quote a Pasuk, which the Mishnah Berurah refers to as an Esmachta, but there's a basis for Mayim Achronim in the Torah. It says, the Gemara in Brachos quotes, V'hiskadishtem, Elu Mayim Rishonim, and then it says, V'hiskadishtem, Hayisim Kadoshim, Hayisim Kadoshim is Elu Mayim Achronim. So there's an Esmachta for this, but Pikabal, there's an Inu Mayim Achronim. So even though in the reason given by the Gemara it's no longer relevant, there are deeper reasons which the Gemara doesn't always provide for us. We find this in another case. There's a din the Gemara talks about, Mayim Megulim. Mayim Megulim, you can't have water left out overnight. What's the chashash of Mayim Megulim? Perhaps a snake came by, dropped off some venom, and now it's dangerous for a person to eat or drink the water. So nowadays we don't have snakes here. No snakes that are venomous. So there's no danger anymore. So many Bali Tosfos said in Europe it didn't exist, it was fine. And the Shulchan Aruch actually passed and that's allowed. You don't have to be concerned. Mashkim, any liquids, shenizgalu asum chachamim, chashinon shema shasa nachash mehem, vihitil behem eres, he left its venom. V'achshav, says the Mechaber, she'ei nachashim mitzuyin b'neinu mutter, there's no nachashim, it's completely permitted. But the Pischei Tshuva on the Shulchan Aruch writes, ein b'shla, that a mikomakom shomer nafsho yirchak mizeh, a person who cares about his nefesh should be careful. And he brings a raya from the Torah, and the Gra as well was very makbid on this din. And then therefore we see, even though sometimes the reasons that the Gemara provide aren't always relevant, So there are sometimes deeper reasons. So one pshat is why are we makbid on these dinim even though it's no longer sakana? So there's a Kabbalistic reason. That's one pshat. We'll go through now, there might be other reasons why we should be makbid, even al pi halacha, on these types of dinim. So let's go through some of the sources. So firstly, the Tver Yisrael is the first one who challenges Metzitza. He brings down that, wait a second, Metzitza isn't a refuah. He writes, Metzitza is actually sakana. When you draw blood, can they wait 30 minutes?
What?
Can they wait 30 minutes?
I need to leave. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. So he said that not only is Metzitza not a refuah, but Metzitza is actually sakana. It's dangerous. By drawing out blood from the child, that's going to cause more of a problem. We want to hold the blood in there, not to draw it out. And he says, in fact, we should rely on the Bekiyim, the scientists, the doctors. They know much better than us. Okay, so anyways, the Tver Yisrael is explaining that, so we have to rely on the doctors. The doctors know better than us. And sometimes you have a concept of the Nishtana Teva. Science changes, which is a very big topic, whether we assume Nishtana Teva, we don't assume Nishtana Teva. It's a big topic, but he says we should trust them. But then he pulls back. He says we shouldn't stray from the Divrei Chazal. Because the Chazal say it, there's something we have to accept about it. He's not really, doesn't tell us, he's mechayev between Rechitza versus Metzitza. It's a very hard sugya of when we accept the science of Chazal when we don't. But he's just taking a very practical perspective of how science works. There's a Chassam Sofer that writes that anybody who relies on the medicine that is written in the Gemara is Dama Barosha, that you're actually killing yourself for doing so. We don't trust refuah that appears in the Gemara. So it's very challenging when we say we do accept the refuah, we don't accept the refuah, Nishtana Teva, a big sugya, but he's taking a Nishtana Teva approach, and we have to accept them, at least Lagabe Metzitza, we have to accept the Gemara's understanding of how science works. Okay. Rav Moshe writes clearly in his tshuva that although the person writing to him, I don't know who the Shoah was, the person writing thought that perhaps Metzitza was a chelik of the mitzvah, Rav Moshe writes, it's clearly an inyan of refuah, and that's what he writes. But then in another tshuva, he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman says something really interesting. And his idea, I think what he's trying to get at is there's a difference between refuah and a minog. Meaning there's some things that the Gemara tells you if a headache, if a stomach ache, so do this particular refuah. There's no mitzvah, there's no minog, there's just refuah. Those types of refuahs we don't accept. But when it's a type of refuah or explanation that is part of a minhag, like the mila became a minhag to do metzitza afterwards, that's something that's part of a minhag that we can change. It says, b'maisa nizhar mi lashanos min ha-minhag afilu b'davar she'im b'zeh adifas etzim ha-mitzvah. Even a minhag that has no added enhancement to the mitzvah, so we should continue to do such a way. And therefore, even though Metzitza perhaps doesn't make any sense, and from a medical perspective, it makes zero sense, and there might be easier ways to accomplish what Metzitza is trying to accomplish, still, we should do it because it's a minug, and we should even do it on Shabbos because that's the minug. And he brings a raya from the fact that everyone will agree that putting a child to sleep, giving him some Novocaine, or I don't know if you put a child to sleep, but I'm sure there are ways to give him the proper thing so it wouldn't be dangerous for him. Even though it would be better, there'd be no crying. We have a minhag not to put the child to sleep. We have a minhag to do metzitza bepeh. And therefore, that's a different type of refuah. Again, refuah, that's nothing to do with a mitzvah. That's not a minhag. That we could do away with. But a refuah that became part of the practice of Klal Yisrael, that's a minhag. That, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, we can't do away even though it doesn't make any sense. And that's the driving force for metzitza that's in and of a minhag. There's just great stories about minhagim throughout history. You know, people were very makbid never to change any minhagim. There, I once saw tshuva from a Sephardi Rav. He said he never in his life changed any minhag except for one, which was everyone getting aliyahs on Simchas Torah. He thought it was a big bizayon of the Torah to everyone just Torah, aliyah after aliyah after aliyah. He abolished that minhag. So everyone had their thing. Rav Soloveitchik has his statement, he only abolished three minhagim. But people were very makbid on minhagim, even though they didn't understand them. So there's a famous story from the Ramah. The Ramah when he came to Krakow originally, so there's a very strange minhag in town. And the minhag was that a wife had given birth, had a child, and then around 6 weeks later, when she becomes taor, she goes to the mikvah. That's halacha. Now, when she goes to the mikvah, so the mikvah lady would then tell the gabbai, her husband, or the hotel gabbai, and then that guy would get an aliyah of the week of his wife going to the mikvah. So on that Shabbos. So Rav Ma found that was very inappropriate. No one needs to know when the wife's going to the mikvah. So he abolished that minhag. Next Shabbos, there was a guy who was out of town. The guy who was out of town, he was unaware that they abolished the minhag. His wife had a baby 6 weeks earlier. His wife went to the mikvah that week, and he didn't get an aliyah. And he was so upset, he caused a whole big fight. Why he didn't get an aliyah, what happened? And then it turned out that his wife actually didn't go to the mikvah that week, when she was supposed to, when she told him he went to the mikvah. So Ramah understood he made a big mistake. There was a minhag that was set up because the women were not reliable. You couldn't trust that they went to the mikvah. So there was some level of accountability. So if they went to the mikvah lady would know and would tell the gabbai. If the gabbai never found out about it and he never got the aliyah, that means the wife never went to the mikvah. So she had that accountability she had to go through. But once Ramah got rid of that minhag, so no one has to know if she goes to the mikvah or not. And therefore he reinstated that minhag, even though it seemed completely inappropriate and out of line. And for that reason, Ramah dedicated the rest of his life to every time in the Shulchan Aruch, v'cheina minhag, anu nogin, ein anu nogin, his whole life was dedicated to preserving the minhag of Ashkenaz. There's a great story about Kivi Eger. I say this story often whenever I talk about minhagim, but there was a shaila once brought to him about the status of a Sefer Torah. Who wrote a Sefer Torah? And the Gemara tells in Gittin that if an Apikoros wrote a Sefer Torah, I may have shared this even here, I don't know if I shared this once with you guys before, but if Apikoros wrote a Sefer Torah, the din is you burn. You saw if the Sefer Torah, I said it before? Okay, I will say it again, why not? So then, a good chazara for you guys, and for myself. But if it was written by a from person, so then you would keep the Sefer Torah. So they didn't know who wrote it. They gave it to the Rebbe Eger. Rebbe Eger said, well, look at the last few osios of the Sefer Torah. If all the osios are exactly the same, you should burn it. Because that means that this sofer didn't follow the minhag of inviting all their banim and all the tzaddikim to the Hachnas Sefer Torah, the Sim, and they didn't sign their own letter. The sofer wrote their own os, and therefore, since he didn't follow that minhag, we can't trust that he's kept the rest of the Torah, and therefore we would burn it. But if all of the osios are different, that means he invited the local rabbanim. If he kept that minhag, we could trust everything else was a frum person. Nowadays, this doesn't work out because you're not allowed to write your own letter. You know, the best I've been offered, I have yet to do this, but recently I've been offered that they let me fill in. It always comes, there are two types. Either they come and they break the osios, you have to just fill the, just connect the osios, or they had just outline it and you're allowed to fill in. So I've been asked if I want to fill it in. I get too nervous. You know, they could fix it. They could easily fix it. It doesn't possibly say for Torah. But I'm too nervous. So maybe one day I'll have enough guts to do it. So, but nowadays they don't let you write your own oath. That's for sure. So either way, this is the idea as to the Matitza. It's just one of them. It's a minhag. Even though maybe the minhag doesn't make any sense anymore, this is the driving force for continuing the minhag of Matitza. So then we get to the Levush, which is a one step further. The Levush says that no, it's not only your fua, it's mi'ikr hamila. That the mila, the priya, matitza, kulam mi'ikr hamilahim, they're all part and parcel of the ma'isa mila. Remember, we can't forget the Ran. The Ran in the beginning started off by saying he wasn't sure. He had this very tzarchin. Yeah, the Gemara said it was tzarchin, it was a refua. But the Ran thought maybe it's not only a fuah, really maybe it's part of the actual Ma'isa Mila. So what does that mean, it's part of the Ma'isa Mila? So here we have a few different approaches as to how it could be understood as being part of the Ma'isa Mila. The two basic approaches. So the Abni Nezer says that really it's all the same. The Abni Nezer reads the Gemara along with this practice. That really it's a sakana. The idea of matita is to prevent the sakana for the child. But once it was established as a sakana, then it became part of the ma'isa mila. And he brings a raya that we have a concept that Gemara Ksubas talks about eating below hagba. The guy needs to pick up food to eat it. So picking up isn't eating, but it's a necessary part of the eating. So it's as if the Torah told you to go ahead and pick up the food and eat the chuma. So here as well, Since when the Torah was given, Metzita was necessary for refuah. That's how it was before the nature and science has changed. So it's as if the Torah told you that to do a milah, kilo amra mahul matzitz. That sakana was part of the Torah's edict of the mitzvah of milah. Even though nowadays it's no longer relevant, it goes back to the understanding of how the Torah is given. It's a tzarchei milah. So it's really a combination. It's a refuah that became part of the halacha, part of the mitzvah itself. So this is reminiscent of a chazanish. There is a big sugya of last year we learned chulin. Chulin, the third parak, is elu trefos, a very, very hard parak, a long parak of challenging technical understandings of different psulim of trefos. A trefo, just simply speaking, is when an animal can't live more than 12 months. That's a definition of trefa, and the Gemara goes through and gives a number of examples. But bizman hazeh, a number of the examples of trefos that are brought, an animal can live much longer than 12 months, whether it be just naturally or even with medicine and surgery or whatever the case might be. Back, antibiotics. So now people challenge them. Maybe this shouldn't be a trefa anymore, because nowadays animals can live with this, whatever the issue is, whatever disease it is. So Chazanish said, when the Gemara, the Chasimas HaGemara, whatever was a trefa at the Chasimas HaGemara, that became set in stone, regardless of what would change over time. So here as well, by Bris Milah, the time when the Torah was given, or whatever time period, the time of the Gemara wrote Motzim, whatever time period we're discussing here, since at that time it was relevant to refuah, that became a chelik of the Milah, and there's no changing it anymore. The most extreme approach is the Tshuvos Yehuda Yala, who was fighting in Hungary strong changes in reform. People trying to undo many things in Yiddishkeit. And just that the language, you see how strong he is with the language. He writes, "Hametzitza b'mitzvas milah." This is number 7. This aspect of the milah shebavonos harabim ktsas ro'im ro'im kesher risham. The group of evil people ratu levatil lehefer bris hametzitza. They want to undo this metzitza part. Sheinu mugufa mitzvah. It's not part of the mitzvah. Ki mishum sakana. It's just for danger. That was in a different place, but where we live, there's no danger. We can live fine without the matita. So this week's parsha, right? The kina kinasi from Pinchas, me with my great kina, kinas Hashem, kesafti v'ze igros hakinos. I wrote a letter for this, and go the whole background of this. In the end of the day, he says, it's Docha Shabbos because it's Halacha, the Moshe Misinai. Mivad Tam HaSakana, aside from the Sakana that the Gemara provides, is a deeper meaning. Not Dafka Kabbalah, but just Halacha Moshe Misinai, that we have a tradition that Metzita dates back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So it comes out from all this, everybody agrees Metzita is a necessary component of the Milah. Either because it's a refuah that we don't understand, but it's a refuah, the Tzvi Yisrael says, or because it doesn't make sense, but it's a minhag. It's a minhag according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's called by Rav Moshe. Or because it becomes part of the mitzvah in that because it was established as refuah initially, but then became part of the Torah's mitzvah, or it's halacha, the Moshe Mesinai. Everybody agrees, in the end of the day, it's something that's necessary, but you could still raise the question of how refuah-oriented it is, or how tzarcha mila-oriented it is, with those nafkaminas of how you define when prisha is, when's the mila over? Is it over by priya, or is it over by metzita? Can you give another person to do it, or should the same person be doing it? And how shlichus works. That's all metzita in general. That's the major discussion. Let's finish off now with discussion of using a peh or some other type of instrument. So this, of course, is a very big discussion. Eli was sharing with me before that there are certain shuls that will only allow you bipeh, and certain shuls will only allow not bipeh, only with a tube. And then there are those who are okay either way. And then there's certain molim which will only do one way or the other way or both. I know Rabbi Perlstein, who's coming next week in Meretz Hashem, he gives you the option. So what's the concern? So the concern is which is a better refuah. So let's assume it's a refuah. It's better refuah bepeh. It's a better refuah with a tube. But the greater concern of recent times, because we live in a wonderful state of New York, that they were concerned with herpes. There have been recorded cases of herpes being transmitted from a mole supposedly to a child and killing the child. Or even not killing the child, giving the child herpes. This has been the concern. So of course, New York's always very liberal in trying to uproot whatever they could uproot of anything that's Yiddishkeit, anything that makes sense, anything that's Yashar. Last week, I go on a little bit of a rant. Last week on Shabbos here, I spoke about Democrats and Republicans just a little bit. I gave a little example of Republicans and Democrats. I spoke about how Democrats rather love everyone. They love every single person, except if you're not like them, then they hate you. They're the most disrespectful people in the world. So that was just giving a little mashal. I spoke about in the afternoon about Chesed and Din, that Democrats are really more Chesed. They love everyone. And Republicans are more din, they're more refined and more into military and fighting. Fine. Maybe I'll discuss this week. We'll see in the Friday share a little bit more. Why am I saying this? Because so Democrats, the last week, so when I gave the share on Shabbat, I gave the drush on Shabbat, someone came to me and said just that day on the paper, he didn't ask me if he could shoot reading a paper on Shabbos, but there are two problems with reading papers on Shabbos. One is if it came on Shabbos is a problem, it's Nola and other issues. And secondly, reading on Shabbos is a problem of Shtar Hediotos, reading non-Torah works. But they have this new New York State rules in education, what they have to teach us, the Jewish education, any education. So forgetting evolution questions, but one of the things they have to teach us is gender questions. It's no longer just men and women anymore. There's like everything else in between, or you could choose your gender, or be both, or neither, or whatever you want. You don't have to decide. You know, it's like when you start filling out forms now, you fill out what gender you are. There's man, woman, like undecided. So it's a crazy world we live in, especially in New York. That being said, I do have a Karsa Tov for New York, but... So now some time ago, they tried abolishing mitzitza bepeh because of concern of herpes. So I'm sure you speak to different doctors. I spent a lot of time a few years ago speaking to a doctor. His name is... what's his name again? Oh, come back to me. He's a firm doctor who learned in YU. He retired earlier, just took a lot of time off spending, just learning and going to Rabbi Shalovsky Shir for a while. He's an infectious disease doctor, which this is his specialty, transmitting diseases over. And he said this whole thing was a big joke. The statistics are crazy. 3 cases out of tens of thousands of cases now having transmitted herpes, there's nothing to work with. There's no data that proves that mitzitza bepeh caused any transmission of herpes. And he thought the whole thing was nuts. But that's part of the whole drive of why certain shuls and rabbanim will be against mitzitza bepeh, because they think it transmits herpes or some other type of disease. Okay, so let's take a look at just 3 poskim. There's a lot to talk about, but I'm going to just mention these 3 poskim, and we'll leave it with that. And you guys decide when you have boys, you figure out from your poskim how to go about. There's yesh for yesh. I'm just showing you where it's coming from, the different opinions. So Aruch HaShulchan writes as follows in number 11. He says, just reading the bold, V'da sheyesh bizmanenu, she'omrim sheyoser tov la'asos metzitza lo bepeh. The more effective way to do metzitza is not with the mouth, ela be'eza sofug shemesabek zadam, some type of sponge that could draw up the blood in a more efficient way. V'lo nevelahem, v'lo nishpahem, ignore them, don't pay attention to these people, says Aruch HaShulchan. Raboseinu chachmei ashas hayu bekiin u'mechuchamim yoser mehem, much wiser than these guys. Ach zel bevadai shemotetzi yelo penaki, be smart. I mean, make sure you clean your mouth out. Below shemachla v'shinayim nikim. Make sure you don't have herpes and make sure you don't have a disease. Check yourself. Oftentimes, I think always, the mole takes a shot glass to wipe out any germs are there and then do matzitza quickly and then they take a shot of wine to just draw out the blood. But make sure your mouth is clean. So whether that's true or not, medically, the guy's herpes, I don't know how herpes is transmitted if you take a shot or that helps out or at all, but a mole should be certainly make sure he's clean, disease-free before he's doing any of this. Number 12.
Where does that come from in the Gemara, Dafka
Bepeh? It's not in the Gemara, but that's how it's been for many generations.
This, I'm saying, when he says, Chachmei Ashas, I'm saying, where... We just assume that mitzitza
bepeh? Yeah, that was the assumption, exactly. That was the assumption. And that certainly was the practice for, even though the Gemara didn't say it, you are correct, but that's how it's been understood. Zeicha Yitzchak, he writes, Ein mitzitza chova al pi halacha lios bepeh. Dafka, he doesn't think it's a requirement, perhaps for what you're saying, Eli, because the Gemara doesn't say peh. B'chal ofen shetia metita betov mu'elas lahasir sakana. Ashibishvila ba metita. Metita came for sakana. So who cares if you're using a mouth versus using a tube? You're just drawing out the blood. It doesn't make a difference. And achre ki gdole harofim maskimim ki metita aideha mechuna shimsi kavoda toti zadam hachabura e metita tova heimanu. So the tube is no better way to draw out the blood than using a tube. That's based on the Hilchos Rofim, and therefore he says that even what you had said, Eli, the milas metzitza beivris ain't kavanah sa metzitza bepeh. The word metzitza doesn't mean sucking bepeh; it just means to suck. So that could be with even a utensil of some sort, an instrument, and therefore the Zeicha Yitzchak felt that you don't have to use bepeh. So the Bir Halacha and Simon Shin Lamed Aleph, when the Shulchan Aruch talks about mila on Shabbos, he writes. The Ayin B'Tshuva is Binyan Sion. That's the Aruch Laner. So someone actually shared with me a beautiful Aruch Laner. Mamish just yesterday. Completely different point, but it's connected to Mila and Leda. You know the Gemara Nida tells us, Laman Aleph, Amin Beis, I think it is, that the child learns Kol Tor Kula while in the Mei Imo. Says Aruch Laner, the child also learns all of Derech Eretz and Midos as well. Me'imo. I'm going to use this actually in some shir. It's such an amazing, amazing point. All of Derech Eretz is learned, which makes sense. You just never think about that. It's all learned that we all have innate understandings of how a Derech Eretz should taka be. So either way, the Aruch Laner in his Tshuvos Binyan Tzion, he writes, "Da'matzita is dafka bepeh v'lo ayde davar acher shimtzia rofim." He has a long two Tshuvos. He discusses. He's very against all this whole idea of not bepeh. And the whole idea of Batitza, people were very much against this. He's a very stark tshuva. But then he, Be'er Lach, the Mishnah Berurah himself says, U'b'tshuvas Yad Eliezer, Matir, he permits one limtzotz b'safug, d'beduka, d'yoser tov v'metitza b'peh. It's understood that using the sponge or the tube is more effective than the peh. Rafiyu b'shabbos, yesh l'hatir b'safug. Even using a sponge on Shabbos, although in general a sponge is aser, for these purposes it's permitted. So I'm saying it's yesh for yesh when it comes to bepeh. Metzitza is a must. Bepeh, or something else, that's yesh for yesh. When it comes down to it, when you're zocha, you should discuss with poskim. Al pi Kabbalah, though. There's a lot spoken al pi Kabbalah. I'm not going to go through Kabbalah, but certainly we discussed in the past the connection of peh to the Os Bris Kodesh. I mentioned the Sefer Yetzirah, who talks about the Sefer Yetzirah, writes that there are different osios attributed to different parts of the body. So beginning with the foot, so he just points out that the foot is the toes. Is Aleph, gives the 22 letters. Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. Os Bris Kodesh is Vav. Left foot is Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yud, Chaf. Then the fingers is Lamed, Men, Num, Samach, Ayin. Peh is the mouth, Peh. And Tzadik, Kuf, Reish, Shin, Taf is all the toes, fingers, and mouth, and Os Bris Kodesh. So Os Bris Kodesh is Vav. There are meanings for that, and this is Peh. But they're both in the center of the body. Those who learn the Svarim, it's connected to Yesod and Malchus. Malchus is Peh, Yesod is the Os Bris Kodesh. All these things connect to each other, Yesod and Malchus. It's a big connection of man and woman coming together, but that's the idea of Metzitza Bepeh when it comes to Api Kabbalah, just a very touch upon it. So I want to just finish off with one just understanding of the Sifsei Tzadikim of Pinchas Midinovitz, of how he understands the three stages of Mila, Priya, and Metzitza in Chassidus. And he writes, "Leze yeshnu gimel bechinos." There are three aspects of mila, which is mila, priya, umetzitza. Hamila he krisus haarla hanosefes. Mila cuts off the arla, the foreskin. Hu kedimus yisron mamish is cutting off that which is extra. It's something we don't like things that are extra. We cut off all the extra stuff. Whom negin midas harishayim shem begeder gufanios. It's like a rasha who's all very, very gashmius oriented. Vein bam nefesh kedosha. Vasagos, sichlios, panemios, they have nothing, no essence to them. Hareim kikashu kala nidaf. They just get rid of them. They're just like straw and worthless. That's the arla. Those are rishayim. That's the maisamila. Hapriya. The priya is when you, after you cut the skin off, you bend back a part of the makamamila. Hu lifros kinafayim, to almost spread wings. Heina vaheina on this side and that side. Veno kore sawar. You don't cut the skin at that point. Aval nizgal sa'atara, but you reveal, you expose the atara of the mila. Vadayin yeshba mezuhumas dam. There's still a little bit of blood there. V'yeshnu bechinas hanishtavan hu negin midas habeinunis shigam heima bechinas hanishtavan. It's just a beinus. That's the middle type of person. There's some level of blood. And finally, Metzitza is actually the highest level in Chassidus. Metzitza hu dam hanizam habab mirichok. It's drawing out blood that's far away, the tumah that's far away. Tzorech limtso tzadam mimakom asarachokim. To draw the blood from very hidden places. He quotes some Mavar Yabok and Reishis Goyim Amalek, different, deeper ideas. But once you do that, oz nishar naki mikol bechinas hatumah. Once you have Metzitza, now you've drawn out all the tumah, all the blood that's there. Who neged midas hatzadikim hamisyaschim b'shem kodesh pnima u'misragin dachi. That's the idea in Chassidus. So either way, we should be zocha to have many, many children. Be zocha to mekayim the din of priya, mila priya, and Metzitza b'peh.